say, when did, could they ever get a picture of you without your mouth open?
Do you want me to step on
his
foot?
Look at, see, I told you. Little shy Ronnie. Right? Little shy Ronnie. Let me see this picture. Let me see this. Oh, you look way too serious there, Ron.
But look at. Here, look at. I thought something else was here first. But I give those ones to Linda. Didn't those turn out good? The clown and stuff from the event?
What was this from? The
Home and Garden Show.
Oh, okay. I looked for you that day because we were in there. I didn't see you at the at the restaurant.
There.
No, at the restaurant.
I was there. Oh, when?
It was early in the morning, though. Or early. It was 10:30.
No, I got there about 10, 9:30.
No, I don't think, I don't know, but your flight was 10.
You had people, staff
yeah, we opened,
already there.
Yeah, we opened early.
Yeah, you had
we
staff
opened
there.
At 10 because of the show, so that
and
we could be ready.
You regularly
isn't that great? But I know
don't you still have some, Karen, from
no,
when you were little?
I
got rid of them, and then, yeah.
Well, no.
Save $3. Oh, okay. That's a good deal.
Hey, how's
it going?
It's
already marked down.
To the team. Hey, that was initiation, right?
Hey.
Get it over with on your first meeting. Gosh, I better make sure.
I got a bunch of praise for your place.
Thank you.
After the
like to call the May 7th meeting of the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee to order. May I have roll call?
Chairperson Block?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bagwell?
Here.
Member Abound?
Here.
Member Hanneman?
Here.
Member Neverett?
Here.
Member Perpich?
Here.
Member Valenti? Quorum is present.
Okay, before we start, I'd like to introduce a new member to the Citizen Committee. Jean, it's nice to welcome you aboard. She's with Wells Fargo Bank over on Carson, Maine, on South Carson.
195.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, just since you're a new member?
Sure. I'm a regional acquisition officer and personal loan officer at Wells Fargo Bank. I've been with Wells Fargo for a year. I have a lot of banking experience in corporate banking. I have my own business, and I have a lot of family here in Carson. So I'm very attached to this area. I moved back here recently to help my mother, and I'm really glad to be able to be a part of your board.
Well, welcome. All right, number three on the agenda, public comment and discussion. We have some public here. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which the action may be taken. Any public comment? Please come forward to the podium, sign in, and state your name for the record, please.
I'm Anthony Mazzini, and this is my dad, Carol Mazzini, and we're from Yarrington. And we'd like to talk about the farmers market, Carson City Farmers Market. Last summer, we talked to Linda about being in the farmers market. Last year, everything was a bit late, so we were denied, so it was okay. But she said we could be in it next summer, which is this coming summer. Now, ever since then, we have been trying to get her to allow us into the farmers market. And we've heard a mirage of different excuses from like, there's no space. But she has asked the Perrys in Yarrington to join her market. Now the Perrys have told her they don't go to farmers markets, that we go and sell their produce. And she's asked the Perrys three times, and each time they told them, the Mazzinis sell the Perrys produce. And then we sent a letter to the Redevelopment Authority stating all of this, and she replied back, one of her excuses was that there's no room. Well, if there's no room, then why did you invite the Perrys? She also said that she only wants small farmers. Well, why did you invite the Perrys? You know. Also, she has. Then she sent us a response to my letter, right? And no hard feelings and all this stuff. And then after that, she invited the Perrys to a farmer's market in Winnemucca. You know. So after a while, we kind of got the hint that it's just excuses and that there's some kind of personal problem going on here. So I asked her at the Fallon Farmers Conference, is there some kind of personal problem going on here? Oh, no, you're fine. She said then she had not gotten all the applications back yet. Well, how do you know you don't have room if you don't have all the applications back yet? She said she would send the applications in March. She sent us an application for the Nevada Certified Farmers Market Association, right? Not including the application to the Carson City Farmers Market as well. And so we are Nevada Certified Farmers. It's my dad's ranch. My dad is farming his dad's ranch. We've been going to the markets in Reno. We used to go to this Carson one. We went to the Pavilion one, but now it's out. We go to the Gardnerville one. and we would simply like to join the Nevada Certified Farmers Market in Carson City this summer. If you'd like, I have copies of my letters and her letters. Okay. Is there any questions?
Okay, Karen.
Just one question. Is there, in, I know Linda in the farmers market likes to make sure that each vendor has something a little different.
Right.
What is it that, what is it, what type of produce that do you sell?
All right. We sell garlic, both loose and braided. And we also grow potatoes. We have russets, reds, and Yukons. Then we have onions. We have red, whites, and sweets. Now this year, we especially want to get in to the Carson City Farmers Market because Perry's are going organic and they're going to sell, they're going to grow everything you find in the grocery store. We have a list of 50 items. It includes chives, tomatillos, basil, two kinds of parsley, produce I never heard of.
Going to have peppers.
Cabbage. Romaine.
I think she's making a mistake. Madeline. I can get feel of the fielder. Last year, I'm at the market, and I'm selling. And she comes by me, and she never greets me, and she knows me. So I got feel of the fielder. I knew she wasn't going to let us in. That's why we're here.
Any more questions for these two gentlemen or clarification?
Well, what's next?
Are you doing the CSAs also?
No, we only do farmers markets, except this year, since Perry's are going to sell 50 different things, we're also going to have a roadside stand in Yerington.
Oh, in Yerington?
In Yerington.
We're Nevada farmers. We'd like to participate in the Nevada farmers market. We got money invested to do these markets, and in the California farmers market we're not allowed in. So we've got to be allowed in this farmers market. That's that.
If you leave us the information, because it's not on the agenda that we can't really discuss it, and I'm guessing that you were directed here from, I guess, the redevelopment funding for the farmers market, or just?
No, from your website.
From the?
You guys said you had, she said she's paid by, I think, you guys, and then your website says you have this meeting.
Okay, so we do the recommendation to the redevelopment authority. So I would guess, Lee, wouldn't this go in front of the RDA? For discussion?
Well, I have the correspondence. I've seen it through the city manager's office and through Linda coming back. But I guess from Linda's side, I don't know. We don't hire them to do the farmers. They're not under contract with the city to do the farmers market. We fund it as a special event, like we do other special events. Meaning we don't manage the event like I don't know, Nevada Day, the other big one I can think of. We help fund the event but don't control the participants of the event, and I think that's this type of discussion is perhaps appropriate when we're considering funding for the farmers market. That probably would have been a good time to bring this up, which happened last month.
That it's just excuses, and that there's some kind of personal problem going on here. So I asked her at the Fallon Farmers Conference, is there some kind of personal problem going on here? Oh, no, you're fine. She said then she had not gotten all the applications back yet. Well, how do you know you don't have room if you don't have all the applications back yet? She said she would send the applications in March. She sent us an application for the Nevada Certified Farmers Market Association, right? Not including the application to the Carson City Farmers Market as well. And so we are Nevada Certified Farmers. It's my dad's ranch. My dad is farming his dad's ranch. We've been going to the markets in Reno. We used to go to this Carson one. We went to the Pavilion one, but now it's out. We go to the Gardnerville one. and we would simply like to join the Nevada Certified Farmers Market in Carson City this summer. If you'd like, I have copies of my letters and her letters. Okay. Is there any questions?
Okay, Karen.
Just one question. Is there, in, I know Linda in the farmer's market likes to make sure that each vendor has something a little different.
Right.
What is it that, what is it, what type of produce that do you sell?
All right. We sell garlic, both loose and braided. And we also grow potatoes. We have russets, reds, and Yukons. Then we have onions. We have red, whites, and sweets. Now this year, we especially want to get in to the Carson City Farmers Market because Perry's are going organic and they're going to sell, they're going to grow everything you find in the grocery store. We have a list of 50 items. It includes chives, tomatillos, basil, two kinds of parsley, produce I never heard of.
Going to have peppers.
Yeah.
Cabbage. Works.
Romaine.
I think she's making a mistake. That Linda. I can get feel of the field. Last year, I'm at the market, and I'm self. And she comes by me, and she never greets me, and she knows me. So I got feel of the field. I knew she wasn't going to let us in. That's why we're here.
Any more questions for these two gentlemen or clarification?
Well, what's next?
Are you doing the CSAs also?
No, we only do farmers markets, except this year, since Perry's are going to sell 50 different things, we're also going to have a roadside stand in Yerington.
Oh, in Yerington?
In Yerington.
We're Nevada farmers. We'd like to participate in the Nevada farmers market. We got money invested to do these markets, and the California farmers market we're not allowed in. So we've got to be allowed in this farmers market. That's that.
If you leave us the information, because it's not on the agenda, that we can't really discuss it, and I'm guessing that you were directed here from, I guess, the redevelopment funding for the farmers market, or just
no, from your website.
From the
you guys said you had. She said she's paid by I think you guys, and then your website says you have this meeting.
Okay, so we do the recommendation to the redevelopment authority. So, I would guess Lee, wouldn't this go in front of the RDA? For discussion?
Well, I have the correspondence. I've seen it through the city manager's office and through Linda coming back. But I guess from Linda's side, I don't know. We don't hire them to do the farmers. They're not under contract with the city to do the farmers market. We fund it as a special event, like we do other special events. Meaning we don't manage the event like I don't know, Nevada Day, the other big one I can think of. We help fund the event but don't control the participants of the event, and I think that's this type of discussion is perhaps appropriate when we're considering funding for the farmers market. That probably would have been a good time to bring this up, which happened last month.
I'm just having difficulty to see where it might be our purview, but because we recommended to the RDA, the Redevelopment Authority, about the grant funding, that maybe have Linda on an agenda item to explain us how this whole process works, so we're of a better understanding. So next year when we're recommending funding, we can do that.
I'll talk to Linda and see if we can
maybe get her here for the next agenda, our next meeting.
Okay, that'd be great. And I'll work with the DA to make sure I report correctly out to everybody. But I'll do that. I'll contact Linda and perhaps watch for the agenda next month to see if we can get some discussion on for next month at this meeting.
Okay.
Or
yeah, we can't really tell Linda
or at the appropriate meeting
like that. But if we kind of have some understanding of you know how the event works and all that stuff, that would help us in the future as well. So you know, and the application process went through all that. So I do appreciate both of you gentlemen taking the time out and coming to speak with us. You know, best of luck with you. Keep growing, so to speak.
Okay,
and
sure.
Do you by chance participate on anything with the Made in Nevada group that does other events in Carson City that you also could potentially participate with?
No.
Well, maybe you could leave your information and we can help you.
Okay.
But there's some other things maybe you could also participate in.
Okay. So if I leave these letters, they've got our name and address.
Just leave with you, Lee? Or the...
I just have one copy for you guys.
And we'll get that. I guess we'll put it in the record. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Okay, next on our agenda here is possible action approval of minutes from the April 2nd, 2012 meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes?
I make a motion that we go ahead and approve the minutes as presented.
I second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes from last month's meeting, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion carries. And now number five. I guess we can take these out of, is there any reason to take are the next items on the agenda out of order? I don't see any. With that being said, I guess for possible action, presentation and discussion only regarding the redevelopment budget. Mr. Providente.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Nick Providente, Carson City Finance Director. We had presented the budget to the board at their last April meeting, and Lee had wanted me to come by and just kind of give you a basic overview of kind of what the redevelopment authority is, what the budget is, and maybe kind of give you a little idea of how much money there might be to spend next year. I just kind of wanted to give you a brief overview. There's quite a bit of paper in this packet. I'm going to really only be concentrating on a couple of the items. I've broken it down. There's a breakdown by area for the fiscal 2012 estimate and 2013 budget. So the 2012 is basically this year, how we expect this year to kind of finish out, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we expect for next year. And it's page 3 and 4 of your packet. The redevelopment authority, it's three funds, basically. There's an administrative fund, a revolving fund, and a debt service fund. So what I like to do is just kind of take them kind of all as a whole. The money that comes into the Redevelopment Authority, as you know, is the property tax increment. And what we're estimating in fiscal 2012, if you kind of look at that one page, what I like to do is I like to figure out how much money we're getting. And then once we kind of figure out what the amount of money we're estimating to be, then I kind of tick off the amount that I know that we're going to have to spend. And whatever's left is kind of what we have available for incentives or for special events, those types of things. So in 2012, if you look at that one property tax number, it's $1,669,84. That's the amount of real and personal property that we're expecting the Redevelopment Authority to receive. Interest revenue is about $27,000. Charges for services is about $11,400. And I think that's mainly for the Christmas ornaments that are sold. I think that's mainly what that amount is. The other local government grants, what we do is we have one of the parks, Kenny Frazier, that's
difficulty to see where it might be our purview, but because we recommended to the RDA, the Redevelopment Authority, about the grant funding, that maybe have Linda on an agenda item to explain us how this whole process works, so we're of a better understanding. So next year when we're recommending funding, we could do that.
I'll talk to Linda and see if we can
maybe get her here for the next agenda, our next meeting.
Okay, that'd be great. And I'll work with the DA to make sure I report correctly out to everybody, but I'll do that. I'll contact Linda and perhaps watch for the agenda next month to see if we can get some discussion on for next month at this meeting.
Okay.
Or
yeah, we can't really tell Linda
or at the appropriate meeting,
like that. But if we kind of have some understanding of you know how the event works and all that stuff, that would help us in the future as well. So you know, and the application process went through all that. So I do appreciate both of you gentlemen taking the time out and coming to speak with us. You know, best of luck with you. Keep growing,
okay.
So to speak.
Okay,
and
sure.
Do you by chance participate on anything with the Made in Nevada group that does other events in Carson City that you also could potentially participate with?
No.
Well, maybe you could leave your information and we can help you.
Okay.
But there's some other things maybe you could also participate in.
Okay. So if I leave these letters, they've got our name and address.
Just leave with you, Lee? Or the...
I just have one copy for you.
And we'll get that, I guess we'll put it in the record. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Okay, next on our agenda here is possible action approval of minutes from the April 2nd, 2012 meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes?
Yeah, I make a motion that we go ahead and approve the minutes as presented.
I second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes from last month's meeting, please submit by saying aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion carries. And now number five. I guess we can take these out of, is there any reason to take are the next items on the agenda out of order? I don't see any. With that being said, I guess for possible action, presentation and discussion only regarding the redevelopment budget. Mr. Providente.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. For the record, Nick Providente, Carson City Finance Director. We had presented the budget to the board at their last April meeting, and Lee had wanted me to come by and just kind of give you a basic overview of kind of what the redevelopment authority is, what the budget is, and maybe kind of give you a little idea of how much money there might be to spend next year. I just kind of wanted to give you a brief overview. There's quite a bit of paper in this packet. I'm going to really only be concentrating on a couple of the items. I've broken it down. There's a breakdown by area for the fiscal 2012 estimate and 2013 budget. So the 2012 is basically this year, how we expect this year to kind of finish out, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we expect for next year. And it's page 3 and 4 of your packet. The redevelopment authority, it's three funds, basically. There's an administrative fund, a revolving fund, and a debt service fund. So what I like to do is just kind of take them kind of all as a whole. The money that comes into the Redevelopment Authority, as you know, is the property tax increment. And what we're estimating in fiscal 2012, if you kind of look at that one page, what I like to do is I like to figure out how much money we're getting. And then once we kind of figure out what the amount of money we're estimating to be, then I kind of tick off the amount that I know that we're going to have to spend, and whatever's left is kind of what we have available for incentives or for special events, those types of things. So in 2012, if you look at that one property tax number, it's $1,669,84. That's the amount of real and personal property that we're expecting the Redevelopment Authority to receive. Interest revenue is about $27,000. Charges for services is about $11,400, and I think that's mainly for the Christmas ornaments that are sold. I think that's mainly what that amount is. The other local government grants, what we do is we have one of the parks, Kenny Frazier, that's budgeted in this budget, and he takes care of pretty much the medians in the downtown. But he's also assigned to do some of the school work. We have an agreement with the school, and they pay us to mow their lawns. So we transfer a little bit of that money into the Redevelopment Authority to help pay for his salary while he's working at the school doing that. So, and then our beginning fund balance is about $2.7 million, and that's pretty high because we have yet to make the Michael Hole payment for the second $2.4 million to Michael Hole. We're actually in negotiations with him. We're kind of redoing the contract. And so really, that should be happening probably in the next month or two, I would say, Randy. We're real close onto the negotiations, and we'll bring it back to the board because I think they have to tweak the agreement a little bit. But that's why that $2.7 million, that's why the fund balance is so high, because that $2.4 million is in there. that we haven't spent yet. So those are basically our revenues. Expenses, we have the debt service. We've got, in the late material, there's member Bagwell had asked for the amortization schedule, so I provided the amortization schedules for you. So this year we're spending about $364,000 in debt service. We've got salaries and benefits. We've got some parks folks, and then we have the administrative folks. I think part of Lee's salaries in there, and then there's a couple of administrative people that are in that budget. If you look down to service and supplies and other expenditures, I kind of tick off some of the ones that we know we're going to have to spend. The Michael Hull incentive is the $480,000. That's the amount that is getting paid back to the general fund over a it's the $4.8 million was the total that we had given or that we're going to give to Michael Hull. And the redevelopment is basically paying back the general fund over 10 years. And that's subject to appropriation. So, I mean, they can decide not to do that if they don't want to. But basically, we're saying that they're going to be paying back the general fund $480,000 for the next, I think it ends in 2020, I believe. I think we started doing that in 2010. The traffic signal to RTC, that was kind of an amount for the traffic signal that was for the Fandango and the Eagle Station light. And we're planning, what we were going to do is kind of pay that off after 5 years, and that's $45,127 is about one-fifth of the payment. But as you'll see in next year, we've kind of gotten a little extra money, so we've decided to go ahead and pay that off early. We'll be paying it off in fiscal 13. The Big Five Big Lots incentive, that's the sales tax incentive, the sharing with Big Five and Big Lots. And I had originally estimated that to be about $100,000, and I just didn't really have any idea how much that number was going to be. And I think it was probably about 2 weeks ago we actually got all the data, and it's going to be about $50,000. So it's going to be a little bit less than I thought. So that kind of freed up that extra $50,000 that where you see that infrastructure projects, $50,000. That's kind of what's left over, basically, that is available, actually, for incentive projects. And then the Michael Hull, that $2.4 million is the Michael Hull. And then I've just kind of broken out the services and supplies. These are mainly administrative services and supplies, the BRIC grant, professional services, the internal service fund for the general fund. We have a study done every year that allocates costs between the funds, and then some other miscellaneous amounts. So the special events and activities was about 128, I believe. Is that, that's what we've budgeted this year, right? $128,623. It was 100, right? But then we added the rendezvous, right? Because this is this year, right? For the 86. So that's kind of in a nutshell how we're expecting 2012 to kind of finish out. So does that make sense? Kind of how we're going. And if you just kind of flip the page, you'll notice that this is fiscal 2013's budget. So the property tax numbers, we're estimating the actual revenue to come down some, mainly because of the drop in assessed value in the district. The interest revenue, we're planning on, that's going to come down a little bit as well, mainly because we're estimating that we're going to spend the $2.4 million and not earn interest on it, basically. Charges for services, again, the local government grants, and you can see our beginning fund balance was a little bit limited in this budget, and he takes care of pretty much the medians in the downtown. But he's also assigned to do some of the school work. We have an agreement with the school, and they pay us to mow their lawns. So we transfer a little bit of that money into the Redevelopment Authority to help pay for his salary while he's working at the school doing that. So, and then our fund balance, our beginning fund balance is about $2.7 million, and that's pretty high because we have yet to make the Michael Hull payment for the second $2.4 million to Michael Hull. We're actually in negotiations with him. We're kind of redoing the contract. And so really, that should be happening probably in the next month or two, I would say, Randy. We're real close onto the negotiations, and we'll bring it back to the board because I think they have to tweak the agreement a little bit. But That's why that 2.7 million, that's why the fund balance is so high, because that $2.4 million is in there that we haven't spent yet. So those are basically our revenues. Expenses, we have the debt service. We've got, in the late material, there's member Bagwell had asked for the amortization schedule, so I provided the amortization schedules for you. So this year we're spending about $364,000 in debt service. We've got salaries and benefits. We've got some parks folks, and then we have the administrative folks. I think part of Lee's salaries in there, and then there's a couple of administrative people that are in that budget. If you look down to service and supplies and other expenditures, I kind of tick off some of the ones that we know we're going to have to spend. The Michael Hull incentive is the $480,000. That's the amount that is getting paid back to the general fund over a, it's the $4.8 million was the total that we had given or that we're going to give to Michael Hull. And the redevelopment is basically paying back the general fund over 10 years. And that's subject to appropriation. So, I mean, they can decide not to do that if they don't want to. But basically, we're saying that they're going to be paying back the general fund $480,000 for the next, I think it ends in 2020, I believe. I think we started doing that in 2010. The traffic signal to RTC, that was kind of an amount for the traffic signal that was for the Fandango and the Eagle Station light. And we're planning, what we were going to do is kind of pay that off after 5 years, and that's $45,127 is about one-fifth of the payment. But as you'll see in next year, we've kind of gotten a little extra money, so we've decided to go ahead and pay that off early. We'll be paying it off in fiscal 13. The Big Five Big Lots incentive, that's the sales tax incentive, the sharing with Big Five and Big Lots. And I had originally estimated that to be about $100,000, and I just didn't really have any idea how much that number was going to be. And I think it was probably about 2 weeks ago we actually got all the data, and it's going to be about $50,000. So it's going to be a little bit less than I thought. So that kind of freed up that extra $50,000, that where you see that infrastructure projects, $50,000. That's kind of what's left over, basically, that is available, actually, for incentive projects. And then the Michael Hull, that $2.4 million is the Michael Hull. And then I've just kind of broken out the services and supplies. These are mainly administrative services and supplies, the brick rent, professional services, the internal service fund for the general fund. We have a study done every year that allocates costs between the funds, and then some other miscellaneous amounts. So the special events and activities was about 128, I believe. Is that, that's what we've budgeted this year, right? $128,623.
It was 100,
right? But then we added the rendezvous, right? Because this is this year, right? For the 86. So that's kind of in a nutshell how we're expecting 2012 to kind of finish out. So does that make sense? Kind of how we're going. And if you just kind of flip the page, you'll notice that this is fiscal 2013's budget. So the property tax numbers, we're estimating the actual revenue to come down some, mainly because of the drop in assessed value in the district. The interest revenue, we're planning on, that's going to come down a little bit as well, mainly because we're estimating that we're going to spend the $2.4 million and not earn interest on it, basically. Charges for services, again, the local government grants, and you can see our beginning fund balance was a little bit less. We need to keep some fund balance in the debt service fund because I believe there's a 6 month reserve requirement that we have to maintain, and I believe it's about $150,000, and then some of the other amounts are just basic minimal amounts. So you see again going down the page, the debt service amounts about $374,000. Again, we have salaries and benefits. The $100,000 in special events and activities is the amount that I told Lee back, I guess it was in February, that you folks had allocated out to the people. The Michael Hull incentive, again, the $480,000. The traffic signal, we kicked that up to $162,000, so that's going to be paid off. There'll be no other payments for that. RTC will be paid. the big five again, that's another 50,000. So that leaves about $77,876. That's kind of the undesignated amount that can be used for infrastructure project. It basically could be used for anything that the Redevelopment Authority chooses to use it for, if they wanted to have more events or more infrastructure. I mean, it would be up to them. And then again, we kind of showed, just broke down the services and supplies. So again, what I like to do, you know, we need to figure out, first thing we figure out is the property tax number. Then we kind of tick off the things that we know we have to spend. And what's left over is basically the special event numbers and the infrastructure numbers. So, you know, depending on, I mean, if you kind of look out into the future, it's been kind of hard to do that the last few years. But, you know, assuming property tax kind of stays stable, there'll probably be a little bit more money freed up, I would think, because we wouldn't have to pay the traffic signal amounts of that $160,000. And, you know, just depending on what the Redevelopment Authority wants to do. And the other pages, again, are just, the detailed budget printouts and things like that. I'm not sure if they're all that much value to you. I mean, they're there. If you had any questions, I'd be happy to answer. But I think the overall purview is that, you know, as long as, you know, we're seeing that property taxes are hopefully starting to stabilize a little bit, there could be a little bit more money in the next couple of years. So,
can you explain the brick rent? It's been at $109,193, and it's projected to go down to $59,000.
Right. What we're doing is we're going to start splitting that money out to the other funds. So redevelopment was paying basically all of it the last couple of years, but now we're going to actually charge the general fund for their portion, because the planning department's up there, and then we're going to start charging the building department some of their portion, because they're actually starting to get back on. I mean, the building department was pretty much decimated the past couple of years. They just didn't have any money. Now they're starting to get a little bit more money, and they're able to pay for things, basically. So we kind of allocated that amount based on the folks that are actually in the brick. So the general fund will pay for some. The building department will pay for some.
Yeah, I had thought it was pretty high to pay for redevelopment, to pay for the entire thing. I couldn't quite understand that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We try to be fair.
Now.
Just for clarification, when's the baseline for Area 2? What year did that start?
2000, I'm not exactly sure, 3, 4?
Might have been 3.
It was around in there. It's pretty close to a 50-50 split. If you look at the splits are based on assessed value. So the downtown has 51% of the assessed value, and the Area 2 has 49% of the assessed value. So it was probably 2004. Because I believe the companion incentive was done in 06, I believe. I think it was the actual district was done a little bit before that.
Nick, why is the general fund internal service charges going up about $44,000 from in 2013 as opposed to 2012?
It's all based on the study that we have done. Every year we have a cost allocation study done by Mahoney and Associates, and it's just based on actual time spent. We need to keep some fund balance in the debt service fund, because I believe there's a 6-month reserve requirement that we have to maintain, and I believe it's about $150,000, and then some of the other amounts are just basic minimal amounts. So you see again going down the page, the debt service amounts about $374,000. Again, we have salaries and benefits. The $100,000 in special events and activities is the amount that I told Lee back, I guess it was in February, that you folks had allocated out to the people. The Michael Hull incentive, again, the $480,000. The traffic signal, we kicked that up to $162,000, so that's going to be paid off. There'll be no other payments for that. RTC will be paid. the big five again, that's another 50,000. So that leaves about $77,876. That's kind of the undesignated amount that can be used for infrastructure project. It basically could be used for anything that the Redevelopment Authority chooses to use it for, if they wanted to have more events or more infrastructure. I mean, it would be up to them. And then again, kind of showed, just broke down the services and supplies. So again, what I like to do, you know, we need to figure out, first thing we figure out is the property tax number, then we kind of tick off the things that we know we have to spend, and what's left over is basically the special event numbers and the infrastructure numbers. So, you know, depending on, I mean, if you kind of look out into the future, it's been kind of hard to do that the last few years, but, you know, assuming property tax kind of stays stable, there'll probably be a little bit more money freed up, I would think, because we wouldn't have to pay the traffic signal amounts of that $160,000. And, you know, just depending on what the Redevelopment Authority wants to do. And the other pages, again, are just, the detailed budget printouts and things like that. I'm not sure if they're all that much value to you. I mean, they're there. If you had any questions, I'd be happy to answer. But I think the overall purview is that, you know, as long as, you know, we're seeing that property taxes are hopefully starting to stabilize a little bit, there could be a little bit more money in the next couple of years. So,
can you explain the brick rent? It's been at $109,193, and it's projected to go down to $59,000.
Right. What we're doing is we're going to start splitting that money out to the other funds. So redevelopment was paying basically all of it the last couple of years, but now we're going to actually charge the general fund for their portion because the planning department's up there, and then we're going to start charging the building department some of their portion because they're actually starting to get back on. I mean, the building department was pretty much decimated the past couple of years. They just didn't have any money. Now they're starting to get a little bit more money, and they're able to pay for things basically. So we kind of allocated that amount based on the folks that are actually in the brick. So the general fund will pay for some. The building department will pay for some.
Yeah, I had thought it was pretty high to pay for redevelopment, to pay for the entire thing. I couldn't quite understand that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We try to be fair.
Now.
Just for clarification, when's the baseline for Area 2? What year did that start?
2000, I'm not exactly sure, 3, 4?
Might have been 3.
It was around in there. It's pretty close to a 50-50 split. If you look at the splits are based on assessed value. So the downtown has 51% of the assessed value, and the Area 2 has 49% of the assessed value. So it was probably 2004. Because I believe the companion incentive was done in 06, I believe. I think it was the actual district was done a little bit before that.
Nick, why is the general fund internal service charges going up about $44,000 from in 2013 as opposed to 2012?
It's all based on the study that we have done. Every year we have a cost allocation study done by Mahoney and Associates, and it's just based on actual time spent on, you know, finance, HR, you know, just the various other departments that are spending time, you know, the district attorney's office at the meetings, the board of supervisors, those times. We just allocate it, and it just changes every year based on time studies. I think we try at the best that we can to actually use actual time spent, and I believe there was probably some time spent. I think it was district attorney time and some, IT time. It just all depends. It changes every year based on that study, and we try to capture the time as best that we can. There's some estimates, but it kind of changes every year. Right. Sure.
Yeah, I have another question, if I may. I'm looking at the personnel detail worksheet.
Okay.
And I understand the planning director, that's you, Lee, right? Okay. And then the management assistant six, which is 1.5 people, right?
That's correct.
If I'm reading that correctly. Ava is one of them, and who is the second half person?
I believe it's Sandy Scott, I believe. Right.
I'm sorry?
Sandy Scott.
Sandy Scott.
That's another.
I think we charge half of her time to that, and the other half to the library or the general fund.
Probably.
Or building.
And the other half, she's a business permit.
Business
center,
license,
yeah, so
that's
it's
right.
General fund.
And then we have, you know, the parks folks. We charge basically, I think we charge one, Kenny Frazier, we charge a full time to him, and then we charge a little bit, just some minor pieces of his supervisor's time to there, because I think they're spending a little bit of time supervising him and working in the area. That's why you kind of see those funny numbers, the 0.9 and 0.3. It's just some of the smaller amounts. And then there's some hourly people in there as well.
Laura, you have a question?
Well, I guess I just, if you look at the general fund internal service charges, those are rolling from a prior year, right? Because the study is done from the prior year.
That's right.
Activities. So there were more staff previously allocated. When I look at the 12 budget, there was another staff person that was charged to redevelopment.
Right.
So you're going to, that's why this is valleying, peaking so much, is because it depends on what baselines
that's
you
right.
actually charge to this budget in the first place. And so what my question really revolves around is what you charge to this budget and what allocation methodologies were used in the first place to determine it's one full position for parks, 1.5 for the admin staff. I mean, it's full-time, even a half-time. Sandy, what method was utilized to determine that 1.5 positions should be charged to this budget?
Yeah, I think it's just an estimate from management, which wasn't me specifically, but working with Andy and as Sandy was recent, and she was recently transferred over from another department, so this is the first. Well, that's one where it's going up, because this is the first year that she's even part of the brick downstairs staff.
Right, and there was
So it's just up front transferring over and looking at the duties and just trying to estimate. So it wouldn't have been part of the study you were talking internal
right.
charge
and,
study.
Right, and I think Joe was the redevelopment authority manager, and you know he was 100% charged to the redevelopment authority, and I think Lee is only partially charged. So I mean there was just some reorganization at the time, and you're correct about the study. The study uses actual data, and the actual. The last actual data that we had was from fiscal 2011. So it's actually two-year-old data that we're using. So, you know, a lot happens, you know, from 2 years ago when we tried to project out. I'm not sure if that was the actual, when did you guys move into the brick? In 2010? July of 2010? So this was the first, I mean, this actual data, I know they spent a lot of computer IT time moving everything over. So they were charging their time at that time. So, I mean, it all kind of evens out eventually. But you're correct. It's a couple of years. It's a rolling target. The same thing happened in the general fund. We took about a $700,000 hit to internal service charges in the general fund this year because, you know, our budget cuts started happening and we started allocating less because there was less to allocate. So you're right. It finance, HR, you know, just the various other departments that are spending time, you know, the district attorney's office at the meetings, the board of supervisors, those times. We just allocate it, and it just changes every year based on time studies. I think we try at the best that we can to actually use actual time spent, and I believe there was probably some time spent. I think it was district attorney time and some, IT time. It just all depends. It changes every year based on that study. And we try to capture the time as best that we can. There's some estimates, but it kind of changes every year. Right, sure.
Yeah, I have another question, if I may. I'm looking at the personnel detail worksheet.
Okay.
And I understand the planning director, that's you, Lee, right? Okay. And then the management assistant six, which is 1.5 people, right?
That's correct.
If I'm reading that correctly. Ava is one of them, and who is the second half person?
I believe it's Sandy Scott, I believe. Right.
Well, I'm sorry?
Sandy Scott.
Sandy Scott.
That's another.
I think we charge half of her time to that, and the other half to the library or the general fund.
Probably.
Or building.
And the other half, she's a business permit.
Business center, license,
yeah, so
that's right.
General fund.
And then we have, you know, the parks folks. We charge basically, I think we charge one, Kenny Frazier, we charge a full time to him, and then we charge a little bit, just some minor pieces of his supervisor's time to there, because I think they're spending a little bit of time supervising him and working in the area. That's why you kind of see those funny numbers, the 0.9 and 0.3. It's just some of the smaller amounts. And then there's some hourly people in there as well.
Laura, you have a question?
Well, I guess I just, if you look at the general fund internal service charges, those are rolling from a prior year, right? Because the study is done from the prior year.
That's right.
Activities. So there were more staff previously allocated. When I look at the 12 budget, there was another staff person that was charged to redevelopment.
Right.
So you're going to, that's why this is valleying, peaking so much, is because it depends on what baselines
That's
you
right.
actually charge to this budget in the first place. And so what my question really revolves around is what you charge to this budget and what allocation methodologies were used in the first place to determine it's one full position for parks, 1.5 for the admin staff. I mean, it's full-time, even a half-time. Sandy, what method was utilized to determine that 1.5 positions should be charged to this budget?
Yeah, I think it's just an estimate from management, which wasn't me specifically, people working with Andy, and as Sandy was recent, and she was recently transferred over from another department, so this is the first, well, that's one where it's going up, because this is the first year that she's even part of the BRIC downstairs staff.
Right, and there was.
Yeah, so it's just up front transferring over and looking at the duties and just trying to estimate. So it wouldn't have been part of the study you were talking, internal
right,
charge
and,
study.
Right, and I think Joe was the redevelopment authority manager, and, you know, he was 100% charged to the redevelopment authority, and I think Lee is only partially charged. So, I mean, there was just some reorganization at the time. And you're correct about the study. The study uses actual data, and the last actual data that we had was from fiscal 2011. So it's actually two-year-old data that we're using. So you know, a lot happens, you know, from 2 years ago when we try to project out. I'm not sure if that was the actual. When did you guys move into the BRIC? In 2010, July of 2010. So this was the first, I mean, this actual data, I know they spent a lot of computer IT time moving everything over, so they were charging their time at that time. So, I mean, it all kind of evens out eventually, but you're correct. It's a couple of years, it's a rolling target. The same thing happened in the general fund. We took about a $700,000 hit to internal service charges in the general fund this year because, you know, our budget cuts started happening and we started allocating less because there was less to allocate. So you're right. It's two-year-old data that, you know, we just allocate. And really that's the way these plans work. I mean, they have to use actual data. You can't use estimated data. And a lot of these plans are used to capture grant money as well. These indirect amounts. So that answers your question, I think.
It does. I guess if I can have a follow-up. This budget, the property tax amount that's in here is predicated on a tax increase.
That's
so
correct.
When you indicate that there's undesignated maybe $50,000 available and that these funds are here, that's based on receiving $249,000 some odd
dollars if the rate increase happens in the property tax versus leaving the rate as is. If the tax increase doesn't happen, then this budget does not have sufficient funds.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. I just want to be clear that the $50,000 that's sitting here is undesignated does not necessarily need to be assessed. The rate could be lowered to eliminate the $50,000 so that we don't have to raise those taxes for the $50,000.
Yeah, it would be kind of hard to do that. Just you can't really do it in the redevelopment authority. You'd have to do it, and you'd have to do it in the general
across
fund,
some other across accounts
board,
and
right.
things too.
Right.
I just want to be clear to people and understand that everyone understands the document that they're looking at, that this is predicated on a tax increase.
That's
and
right.
So when we recommended the $100,000 in special events, I don't know that we all recognized that $100,000 wouldn't be there without the tax increase. And so it's not available based on current tax rate. It's only available if a tax increase occurs.
That's correct. The problem with projecting property taxes is that you have to do it on a parcel by parcel basis. You can't do it macro. So, you know, if the board said, well, we don't want you to raise the property tax to $3.56, we want you to raise it to $3.25, we would have to actually do another. I mean, we just can't take that difference and figure out what the percentage reduction would be, because it has to be done on a parcel by parcel basis, just the way the property tax system works. So, you know, if we did reduce that amount, then we just have to run it through our projection program. Basically, the treasurer has a program, and it looks at every parcel and compares the numbers and spits out a number at us and tells us what those numbers are. So we'd have to run those programs. But you're correct. It is predicated on that tax rate.
So, and obviously this is the increased tax rate is something proportional with the 35% economic obsolescence that the Board of Equalization has given in a lot of the industrial areas. I think that would imply to more of District Area 2.
Right. That doesn't have anything to do with the property tax. That has to do with the value. Typically your property tax is your assessed value times the property tax rate. That's one bookend. The other bookend is you take last year's taxes, multiply them by 3%, and you take the lower of the two.
So whatever the value is,
we'll catch up.
Yeah, if all the economic obsolescence was taken off and it would raise the values up, then that would have an effect on, you know.
Well, but people are reassessing their homes and they're filing for appeals on their taxes based on current market value.
Right.
That's really going to have a drastic impact, even if a tax increase does take place.
Yeah, all that has already happened for this fiscal year. That has to happen by, I believe, February or March. They go to the local Board of Equalization, and then if they appeal it, they go to the state Board of Equalization. So most of that all has to happen before these numbers are sent to the Department of Taxation. Because the assessor basically closes the roll in December, and then you have January and February to appeal, and then if you don't like what the local boards of equalization are telling you, then you have the right to go to the state board. If you don't like the state board, you could appeal it to district court. But, I mean, there isn't too many people that do that, so it could drag a little bit, and it really wouldn't affect too much. The assessed value numbers that we have are pretty good numbers now.
But the assessed values are based on homes that are also upside down in the current market.
It's two-year-old data that, you know, we just allocate, and really that's the way these plans work. I mean, they have to use actual data. You can't use estimated data. And a lot of these plans are used to capture grant money as well. These are indirect amounts. So, does that answer your question, I think?
It does. I guess if I can have a follow-up. This budget, the property tax amount that's in here is predicated on a tax increase.
That's correct.
When you indicate that there's undesignated maybe $50,000 available and that these funds are here, that's based on receiving $249,000 some odd dollars if the rate increase happens in the property tax versus leaving the rate as is. If the tax increase doesn't happen, then this budget does not have sufficient funds.
That's correct? That's correct.
Okay. I just want to be clear that the $50,000 that's sitting here is undesignated does not necessarily need to be assessed. The rate could be lowered to eliminate the $50,000 so that we don't have to raise those taxes for the $50,000.
Yeah, it would be kind of hard to do that. Just you can't really do it in the redevelopment authority. You'd have to do it, and you'd have to do it in the general
across
fund,
some other across accounts and
right.
things too.
Right.
I just want to be clear to people and understand that everyone understands the document that they're looking at, that this is predicated on a tax increase.
That's correct. So
when we recommended the $100,000 in special events, I don't know that we all recognized that $100,000 wouldn't be there without the tax increase. And so it's not available based on current tax rate. It's only available if a tax increase occurs.
That's correct. The problem with projecting property taxes is that you have to do it on a parcel by parcel basis. You can't do it macro. So, you know, if the board said, well, we don't want you to raise the property tax to $3.56, we want you to raise it to $3.25, we would have to actually do another. I mean, we just can't take that difference and figure out what the percentage reduction would be, because it has to be done on a parcel by parcel basis, just the way the property tax system works. So, you know, if we did reduce that amount, then we just have to run it through our projection program. Basically, the treasurer has a program, and it looks at every parcel and compares the numbers and spits out a number at us and tells us what those numbers are. So we'd have to run those programs. But you're correct. It is predicated on that tax rate.
So, and obviously this is the increased tax rate is something proportional with the 35% economic obsolescence that the Board of Equalization has given in a lot of the industrial areas. I think that would apply to more of District Area 2.
Right. That doesn't have anything to do with the property tax. That has to do with the value. Typically your property tax is your assessed value times the property tax rate. That's one bookend. The other bookend is you take last year's taxes, multiply them by 3%, and you take the lower of the two. So,
okay, so
whatever the value is,
we'll catch up.
Yeah, if all the economic obsolescence was taken off, and it would raise the values up, then that would have an effect on.
Well, but people are reassessing their homes, and they're filing for appeals on their taxes based on current market value.
Right.
That's really going to have a drastic impact, even if a tax increase does take place.
Yeah. All that has already happened for this fiscal year. That has to happen by, I believe, February or March. They go to the local Board of Equalization, and then if they appeal it, they go to the state Board of Equalization. So most of that all has to happen before these numbers are sent to the Department of Taxation. Because the assessor basically closes the roll in December, and then you have January and February to appeal, and then if you don't like what the local boards of equalization are telling you, then you have the right to go to the state board. If you don't like the state board, you could appeal it to district court. But I mean, there isn't too many people that do that, so it could drag a little bit, and it really wouldn't affect too much. The assessed value numbers that we have are pretty good numbers now.
But the assessed values are based on homes that are also upside down in the current market.
Right.
So there's a lot
of ifs in the future, absolutely.
Yes, and would you please be so kind as to expound a little bit more on the bond proceeds? I understand the property tax, but that portion of income that has changed.
I'm sorry, which bond proceeds? We haven't gotten it. There's a bond proceed number in there, but there's no money in there. So we haven't received any bond.
Is that based on what we're projected to receive? Is that
which number are you looking at?
I'm looking at for 2013 or 2000.
Beginning fund balance is actually the number.
Yeah, it's actually the beginning fund balance.
Two lines.
Yeah.
I probably should have just taken that number out.
Yeah.
Bond proceeds are, you know, we're not selling any bonds. Yeah, or put a zero there. I'm sorry. Yeah, I do not think so,
but I really wanted to get some clarification of those numbers, which were really different.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's no projected. We're not planning on going out and getting bonds.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
The downtown proposed Nugget project is within the redevelopment area. If that project occurs, are we going to lower the assessed value within the redevelopment and have less dollars then? Because that would become a city and you don't tax it? Or is the current, what's going to happen there? Are we going to have less dollars?
Well, that's another good question. It would probably affect the redevelopment area because you're right, it probably wouldn't be taxed.
Right. So okay.
It could affect it some. And hopefully it would bring the properties around it up if it was, and that could be the trade-off. Right. But yeah, that probably would happen. We wouldn't be levying a tax probably on those parcels.
And just to follow up with Gene's questions, the Board of Equalization, I think, had about 40 appeals this year, and two of the appeals were some major property owners that had more than one parcel. So it's not like with the economy, the assessor's been really reassessing properties where they once did it every section of town once every 5 years, and now they're getting more up to speed with doing most of it, I believe, every year.
Right.
And so they have assigned economic obsolescence and things like that, but it's not that the assessor's office keeps going, raising the values, and people keep appealing. And between 35 and 40, I think, has happened in the last 3 years.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that's very current.
Right. Yeah, because I started my career actually in working at the assessor's office as an appraiser, and we would get no appeals ever back in the 90s. I mean, we were always way under market value. And it's just unprecedented the last 3 or 4 years is what's been happening. So,
any other questions for Mr. Plummel?
Just to add on a little bit, want to talk about the budget process, if not for you, but anybody else watching too. The materials you have is exactly what was presented to the Board of Supervisors when the budget was laid out to them on May 3rd. Was when it was presented, right?
It was in April.
It was
second
in April. See, I thought it was a longer
than
that. Okay. Time flies. And at that time, that was the first time the board saw the budget. So the next step in the process, there's a special meeting on Monday, May 21st,
right,
is when they'll board of super go to them for adoption of the budget. And I just point out that timing because one of the things that come up is a special events, and we're kind of been struggling with that, and it wasn't until the last couple of years that whether or not there's going to be enough money to fund special events has even been a problem. When the revenues were up higher, that was pretty minor. There was always enough money available to give redevelopment authority the ability to fund discretionarily whatever was requested. So timing-wise, it's been tough because if we had given this budget presentation to you in April, the numbers would be all different. They're still working on it. We wouldn't really have known. Yet we're trying to figure out if there's enough money, and the events are coming up and starting. So, you know,
right,
finance is making their best guess on how much is available. And I was going to – I guess this is the time to notice in terms of it relates to the budget that – at the Board of Supervisors meeting when they made recommendations on it.
So there's a lot
of ifs in the future, absolutely.
Yes, and would you please be so kind as to expound a little bit more on the bond proceeds? I understand the property tax, but that portion of income that has changed.
I'm sorry, which bond proceeds?
We
haven't gotten it. There's a bond proceed number in there, but there's no money in there. So we haven't received any bond. We haven't.
Is that based on what we're projected to receive? Is that
which number are you looking at?
I'm looking at for 2013 or 2000.
Beginning fund balance is actually the number.
Yeah, it's actually the beginning fund balance.
Yeah.
I probably should have just taken that number out. Bond proceeds are, you know, we're not selling any bonds. Yeah, or put a zero there. I'm sorry. Yeah, I do not think so,
but I really wanted to get some clarification of those numbers, which were really different.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's no projected. We're not planning on going out and getting bonds.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
The downtown proposed Nugget project is within the redevelopment area. If that project occurs, are we going to lower the assessed value within the redevelopment and have less dollars then? Because that would become a city and you don't tax it? Or is the current, what's going to happen there? Are we going to have less dollars?
Well, that's another good question. It would probably affect the redevelopment area because you're right, it probably wouldn't be taxed.
Right. So, okay.
It could affect it some. It, hopefully it would bring the properties around it up if it was, and that could be the trade-off. Right. But yeah, that probably would happen. We wouldn't be levying a tax probably on those parcels.
And just to follow up with Gene's questions, the Board of Equalization, I think, had about 40 appeals this year, and two of the appeals were some major property owners. They had more than one parcel. So it's not like with the economy, the assessor's been really reassessing properties where they once did it every section of town once every 5 years, and now they're getting more up to speed with doing most of it, I believe, every year.
Right.
And so they have assigned economic obsolescence and things like that, but it's not that the assessor's office keeps going, raising the values, and people keep appealing. And between 35 and 40, I think, has happened in the last 3 years.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that's very current.
Right. Yeah, because I started my career actually in working at the assessor's office as an appraiser, and we would get no appeals ever back in the 90s. I mean, we were always way under market value. And it's just unprecedented the last 3 or 4 years is what's been happening. So,
any other questions for Mr. Plummel?
Just to add on a little bit, want to talk about the budget process, if not for you, but anybody else watching too. The materials you have is exactly what was presented to the Board of Supervisors when the budget was laid out to them on May 3rd. Was when it was presented, right?
It was in April.
It was
second
in April. See, I thought it was a longer
than
that. Okay. Time flies. And at that time, that was the first time the board saw the budget. So the next step in the process, there's a special meeting on Monday, May 21st,
right,
is when they'll board of super go to them for adoption of the budget. And I just point out that timing because one of the things that come up is a special events, and we're kind of been struggling with that, and it wasn't until the last couple of years that whether or not there's going to be enough money to fund special events has even been a problem. When the revenues were up higher, that was pretty minor. There was always enough money available to give redevelopment authority the ability to fund discretionarily whatever was requested. So timing-wise, it's been tough because if we had given this budget presentation to you in April, the numbers would be all different. They're still working on it. We wouldn't really have known. Yet we're trying to figure out if there's enough money, and the events are coming up and starting. So, you know,
right,
finance is making their best guess on how much is available. And I was going to – I guess this is the time to note in terms of it relates to the budget that – at the Board of Supervisors meeting when they made recommendations on the funding for special events, it was before they knew what the budget was, and they made a recommendation but specifically recommended us to come back to them after they approved the budget to see if there's any additional funds. In this case, it's pretty close, but we're going to do that as well. So just a little bit more of an overview there.
Yeah, so we'll know on May 21st. The budget has to be delivered to the state on June 1st. So if they decide to make some changes, we'll have a week or 9 days to make changes. So we should know. And then, you know, by your next meeting, I would think, whether or not there's available funding or not, any additional funding.
Well, or potentially if we have to lower what we recommended, because I don't want to assume they're going to do a tax increase. And so if they don't, then we'll have to cut funding. So.
And how does that process work with, and obviously that's through the purview of the Redevelopment Authority and not the Citizens Committee, to cut back funding? Is it a percentage of if there's a certain amount of dollars that we come up short, or that the RDA comes up short? Excuse me.
That would be up to them. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for your comments, and let's move on to agenda item 5-2. We have two members of the public. Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, let's move on to item number 5-2 for possible action to discuss and make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors regarding the allocation of special event funding from the Redevelopment Revolving Fund, the criteria by which applications for redevelopment special events funding are reviewed, and the possible role of the Cultural Commission in reviewing redevelopment special event funding request. Staff?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairman Block. Again, for the record, Lee Plummel, Planning Director. This item is a continuation of the discussion on the same issue that we had with RAC last month in April. Specifically, after some discussion and talking about what portion, if any, of redevelopment funds may be directed for special events to the Cultural Commission to review arts and culture, quotation marks, types of events. So to that end, the staff was directed to go back and kind of look at the history of what's been allocated to special events. And so on the second page, you have a memo kind of giving an overview, and then behind that on the second page is a budget looking back to 2008 to the present and even next year in terms of what was recommended by RAC and the Board of Supervisors for next year, the 2012-13 budget year. So that's 5 years worth. I attempted, based on what I understood from the discussion last month, to break them down into two categories, with one being kind of the arts and culture and then the other type of downtown public, general public open events. And so you'll see in each box for the any given fiscal year, the first part is the arts and culture, and there's a subtotal, and then there's a percentage of the total special event funding for that season that can be attributed, if you agree that's how you attribute arts and culture breakdown to that. So you see over the years it's varied quite a bit as to what might be considered, you know, cultural events. And I included kind of the music, the jazz festival, for example, summer concerts, and then the art exhibits and the indoor things that are at the community center as kind of the arts and culture category. And over the years, it's, you know, 50%, 41, 42, 29, and then for next year actually went down to 15% being that kind of in that arts and cultures category. So it varies year to year. But explanation of what this is. I was going to bring that back to RAC for your discussion, further discussion. And again, kind of overview of what this is about is discussion of involving the Cultural Commission more in reviewing and then deciding on how funding gets, redevelopment funding in this case, I mean, as it relates to this discussion for special events related to arts and culture, funding for special events. It was before they knew what the budget was, and they made a recommendation, but specifically recommended us to come back to them after they approved the budget to see if there's any additional funds. In this case, it's pretty close, but we're going to do that as well. So just a little bit of more of an overview there.
Yeah, so we'll know on May 21st. The budget has to be delivered to the state on June 1st. So if they decide to make some changes, we'll have a week or 9 days to make changes. So we should know. And then, you know, by your next meeting, I would think, whether or not there's available funding or not, any additional funding.
Well, or potentially if we have to lower what we recommended, because I don't want to assume they're going to do a tax increase. And so if they don't, then we'll have to cut funding. So.
And how does that process work with, and obviously that's through the purview of the Redevelopment Authority and not the Citizens Committee, to cut back funding? Is it a percentage of if there's a certain amount of dollars that we come up short, or that the RDA comes up short? Excuse me.
That would be up to them. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for your comments, and let's move on to agenda item 5-2. We have two members of the public. Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, let's move on to item number 5-2 for possible action to discuss and make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors regarding the allocation of special event funding from the Redevelopment Revolving Fund, the criteria by which applications for redevelopment special events funding are reviewed, and the possible role of the Cultural Commission in reviewing redevelopment special event funding request. Staff?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair, Chairman Block. Again, for the record, Lee Plummel, Planning Director. This item is a continuation of the discussion on the same issue that we had with RAC last month in April. Specifically, after some discussion and talking about what portion, if any, of redevelopment funds may be directed for special events to the Cultural Commission to review arts and culture quotation marks types of events. So to that end, the staff was directed to go back and kind of look at the history of what's been allocated to special events. And so on the second page, you have a memo kind of giving an overview, and then behind that on the second page is a budget looking back to 2008 to the present and even next year in terms of what was recommended by RAC and the Board of Supervisors for next year, the 2012-13 budget year. So that's 5 years worth. I attempted, based on what I understood from the discussion last month, to break them down into two categories, with one being kind of the arts and culture and then the other type of downtown public, general public open events. And so you'll see in each box for the any given fiscal year, the first part is the arts and culture, and there's a subtotal, and then there's a percentage of the total special event funding for that season that can be attributed, if you agree that's how you attribute arts and culture breakdown to that. So you see over the years, it's varied quite a bit as to what might be considered, you know, cultural events. And I included kind of the music, the jazz festival, for example, summer concerts, and then the art exhibits and the indoor things that are at the community center as kind of the arts and culture category. And over the years, it's, you know, 50%, 41, 42, 29. And then for next year, actually went down to 15% being that kind of in that arts and cultures category. So it varies year to year. But this was, point is, that's kind of explanation of what this is. I was going to bring that back to RAC for your discussion, further discussion. And again, kind of overview of what this is about is discussion of involving the Cultural Commission more in reviewing and then deciding on how funding gets, redevelopment funding in this case, I mean, as it relates to this discussion for special events related to arts and culture. I think at the last meeting, the Cultural Commission had not met before your last meeting. They met since then and had quite a bit of discussion, and Supervisor About is on the Cultural Commission as well, and could probably provide more information on that, but they're supportive of taking over any such responsibilities that the Redevelopment Authority and supervisors might want to give them as it relates to reviewing special events. So I guess I'll conclude my presentation with that and be available for questions and let you discuss further. And I think what we want to come away with is is some recommend tonight is some recommendation to take to the Board of Supervisors on related to this issue. So hopefully we can come to some recommendation that could be put into put into a motion and forwarded to the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors.
Okay, well, with that said, I think maybe we should start with Supervisor Abowd and give us some background on what happened at the Cultural Commission.
Well, basically, Jed, what happened at the Cultural Commission was the discussion regarding assisting with the awarding of these monies for arts that for events that relate to arts and culture, and the fact that Parks and Rec is now our overseer. As far as staff goes, where available to us is what breaks the various organizations, Nutcracker, Peanut Cracker, all of those organizations are getting in terms of using facilities, and so we'd have that information. We could make a good assessment and subtract that out of requests, in other words, so that there's more money available per event. And we would have the answers right there in order to deal with these events. The thought process being that when folks apply, we don't direct them, they decide. In other words, it's like when you go for the community development block grant, there's categories that you apply for. And there's a seminar that you attend. And based upon the information presented, you decide what category you fit into. And then you submit your application accordingly. And so that's the thought process.
Okay. Now questions from the committee here.
I don't think it's a question. It's kind of an observation, I guess, with acknowledging that we will never have unlimited resources to dedicate to this, that there may be a time at some point, whether it's next year or 5 years from now, that some group needs to make a determination that there's less of a focus on the cultural resources and more of a focus on those events that bring people to the downtown hub area in significant numbers. And maybe also look at, you know, are these new events? Are the old ones continuing on? You know, the history kind of thing. So at some point, I think there needs to be still an overriding look at this by some group before any allocation is made, because there may be zero that needs to go to the cultural side at some point because there's such a demand or a need on the non-cultural side for whatever that does entail. And I think by automatically saying 25%, I'm just pulling a number out, 25% goes to the Cultural Commission to go to those, and 75% goes to the Redevelopment Authority, you're eliminating that review from the top down to say, where do these resources really have the most impact, the most bang for the buck? So it isn't a question.
Well, and I guess my thought process reverts to this process, because there's a board that screens all the applications as they go through, and that would be their function, I think, to say, you know, X amount of the funds based on the applications that we're pre-screening should go to this pot and X amount should go to this pot. Now, it would still be up to our individual boards and the Redevelopment Authority, of course, ultimately to decide, you know, if they felt that that allocation was correct. But, you know, because this process is essentially, you know, it's gone to someone before we even see it. And it's a group that's independently selected that scores the applications and that sort of thing. So, you know, with that sort of process, I think it is pre-screened, and it could be. It's part of delineating categories.
I think at the last meeting, the Cultural Commission had not met before your last meeting. They met since then and had quite a bit of discussion Supervisor Abowd is on the Cultural Commission as well and could probably provide more information on that. But they're supportive of taking over any such responsibilities that the Redevelopment Authority and supervisors might want to give them as it relates to reviewing special events. So I guess I'll conclude my presentation with that and be available for questions and let you discuss further. And I think, well, I think what we want to come away with is some recommend tonight is some recommendation to take to the Board of Supervisors on related to this issue. So hopefully we can come to some recommendation that could be put into put into a motion and forwarded to the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors.
Okay, well, with that said, I think maybe we should start with Supervisor Abowd and give us some background on what happened at the Cultural Commission.
Well, basically, Jed, what happened at the Cultural Commission was the discussion regarding assisting with the awarding of these monies for arts that for events that relate to arts and culture, and the fact that Parks and Rec is now our overseer. As far as staff goes, we're available to us is what breaks the various organizations, Nutcracker, Peanut Cracker, all of those organizations are getting in terms of using facilities, and so we'd have that information. We could make a good assessment and subtract that out of requests, in other words, so that there's more money available per event. And we would have the answers right there in order to deal with these events. The thought process being that when folks apply, we don't direct them, they decide. In other words, it's like when you go for the community development block grant, there's categories that you apply for. And there's a seminar that you attend. And based upon the information presented, you decide what category you fit into. And then you submit your application accordingly. And so that's the thought process.
Okay. Now questions from the committee here.
I don't think it's a question. It's kind of an observation, I guess, with acknowledging that we will never have unlimited resources to dedicate to this, that there may be a time at some point, whether it's next year or 5 years from now, that some group needs to make a determination that there's less of a focus on the cultural resources and more of a focus on those events that bring people to the downtown hub area in significant numbers. And maybe also look at, you know, are these new events? Are the old ones continuing on? You know, the history kind of thing. So at some point, I think there needs to be still an overriding look at this by some group before any allocation is made, because there may be zero that needs to go to the cultural side at some point because there's such a demand or a need on the non-cultural side for whatever that does entail. And I think by automatically saying 25%, I'm just pulling a number out, 25% goes to the Cultural Commission to go to those, and 75% goes to the Redevelopment Authority, you're eliminating that review from the top down to say, where do these resources really have the most impact, the most bang for the buck? So it isn't a question.
Well, and I guess my thought process reverts to this process, because there's a board that screens all the applications as they go through, and that would be their function, I think, to say, you know, X amount of the funds based on the applications that we're pre-screening should go to this pot, and X amount should go to this pot. Now, it would still be up to our individual boards and the Redevelopment Authority, of course, ultimately to decide, you know, if they felt that that allocation was correct. But, you know, because this process is essentially, you know, it's gone to someone before we even see it, and it's a group that's independently selected that scores the applications and that sort of thing. So, you know, with that sort of process, I think it is pre-screened, and it could be. It's part of delineating categories.
Well, what I don't understand is if you've been doing it this way for years, not that, you know, change is bad, and you do have a pre-screening process on the whole bit, why can't this just stay here? And
I'll tell you why, Ronnie.
Okay.
As the Arts and Culture Commission moves forward, we're exploring some additional sources of funding. So if some of these events that kind of fit into an arts and culture category are pushed in that direction, they may be able to access larger pots of money. So that's the thought process.
Like grants or whatever?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
have a question for, I guess, Lee's staff. Does the Cultural Commission currently have a staff person on that?
Like a staff assigned to them? Like
staff like assigned, me? Like you're yeah. assigned to
it is. The it's the Parks and Rec Department, and Vern Cron is the staff person assigned.
Okay, so that staff person is now actually, in essence, being funded by Parks and Rec when?
Yes.
Okay. Questions, Lori?
Well, I guess what I want to address is more the philosophy of redevelopment funds, and maybe that's the root of my concern and why the last time I had asked about the history, I meant more the history of when did we move to start funding these types of events from redevelopment dollars, because when redevelopment was established and communities were discussing the needs, they were to fix blight. The tax structure was established and everything to revitalize your downtowns. And so I guess we could have a philosophical discussion on whether these cultural things revitalize your downtown to fill in your vacant buildings and to get someone to come to want to rent and become part of the downtown. And so I'm looking more from a different perspective to ask whether or not these events are meeting the goals of redevelopment. And so while they might bring someone downtown for a two-hour jazz festival, is it meeting the actual intent of what we want to accomplish in the redevelopment areas? And so I'm more focused on, is this the best use of redevelopment dollars? Or would we be better served? If you look at why redevelopment is attract new jobs and businesses, create more affordable housing, stimulate private reinvestment in local neighborhoods and businesses, reduce crime, stimulate development of downtown improvement. And so I'm not sure that we're actually meeting the overreaching goal of redevelopment. And so I'm not in favor at this point of saying I want to give a percentage to someone else. I would rather we all as a group decide, is it the right priority of redevelopment dollars? And maybe that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not against any project. I love them all. But I just want to make sure that the limited dollars with the tax increase that's out there, everything that's going on, is it the best use of the dollar? That's what I'm after.
And if I can add on that, having gone to a number of economic development and redevelopment conferences, is basically a lot of this is considered community development, not redevelopment. And that's the one problem that I've had with trying to understand what redevelopment is with the bands and different things like that. I think they're great things, but it's more community development than redevelopment. So I understand your point of view.
But Karen, let me ask you this question. Is that group that kind of reviews this, the precursor to all this, is that more of an application review or?
It's more of an application review. Lee, wouldn't you say that it's more of an application screen all the applications?
Yeah, and what we're referring, or what's being referred to is we've kind of an ad hoc committee, that staff committee that's put together to help us review. We started it with the Community Development Block Grant Program. We expanded it this year to the community service support grants that the city offers, and use the same process and ranking thing. So I guess it is a process that could be expanded to other groups. It's not a kind of depends on how we want to set it up. So this was not an official group or an official.
What I don't understand is, if you've been doing it this way for years, not that, you know, change is bad, and you do have a pre-screening process and the whole bit, why can't this just stay here? And
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
As the Arts and Culture Commission moves forward, we're exploring some additional sources of funding. So if some of these events that kind of fit into an arts and culture category are pushed in that direction, they may be able to access larger pots of money. So that's the thought process.
Like grants or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I have a question for, I guess, Lee's staff. Does the Cultural Commission currently have a staff person on that?
Like a staff assigned to them? Like
staff like assigned, like you're assigned to
it's the Parks and Rec Department, and Vern Cron is the staff person assigned.
Okay, so that staff person is now actually, in essence, being funded by Parks and Rec when?
Yes.
Okay. Questions, Lori?
Well, I guess what I want to address is more the philosophy of redevelopment funds, and maybe that's the root of my concern, and why the last time I had asked about the history, I meant more the history of when did we move to start funding these types of events from redevelopment dollars, because when redevelopment was established and communities were discussing the needs, they were to fix blight. The tax structure was established and everything to revitalize your downtowns. And so I guess we could have a philosophical discussion on whether these cultural things revitalize your downtown to fill in your vacant buildings and to get someone to come to want to rent and become part of the downtown. And so I'm looking more from a different perspective to ask whether or not these events are meeting the goals of redevelopment. And so while they might bring someone downtown for a two-hour jazz festival, is it meeting the actual intent of what we want to accomplish in the redevelopment areas? And so I'm more focused on, is this the best use of redevelopment dollars? Or would we be better served? If you look at why redevelopment is attract new jobs and businesses, create more affordable housing, stimulate private reinvestment in local neighborhoods and businesses, reduce crime, stimulate development of downtown improvement. And so I'm not sure that we're actually meeting the overreaching goal of redevelopment. And so I'm not in favor at this point of saying I want to give a percentage to someone else. I would rather we all as a group decide, is it the right priority of redevelopment dollars? And maybe that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not against any project. I love them all, but I just want to make sure that the limited dollars with the tax increase that's out there, everything that's going on, is it the best use of the dollar? That's what I'm after.
And if I can add on that, having gone to a number of economic development and redevelopment conferences, is basically a lot of this is considered community development, not redevelopment. And that's the one problem that I've had with trying to understand what redevelopment is with the bands and different things like that. I think they're great things, but it's more community development than redevelopment. So I understand your point of view.
But Karen, let me ask you this question. Is that group that kind of reviews this, the precursor to all this, is that more of an application review or?
It's more of an application review. Wouldn't you say that it's more of an application all of the applications?
Yeah, and what we're referring, or what's being referred to is we've kind of an ad hoc committee, that staff committee that's put together to help us review. We started it with the Community Development Block Grant Program. We expanded it this year to the community service support grants that the city offers, and use the same process and ranking thing. So I guess it is a process that could be expanded to other groups. It's not kind of depends on how we want to set it up. So this was not an official group or an official committee in terms of the sense that it's a city committee, but it's a group of citizens that we put together that have a vested interest in the community. So, and well, in fact, Ronnie sat on the committee this year. So that's what you're referring to, and that could be expanded to other processes.
Comments, questions, suggestions from any of the committee? Lori?
Well, what I really want to work on with this committee is that we design maybe our percentages in a different way. That do we want 70% of the money to to fix. I want to lure, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I want to lure business to these redevelopment areas. And I think by luring business, business will generate that community development. All the businesses in town help and contribute to these events and give things to them. And so I think we will still accomplish these specialty events by actually having redevelopment get us some vendors in here, get us some new business, fill that vacancy and generate the tax dollars and the sales tax and the property tax and all those other things. And so I just want us to talk about which priorities will in the long run benefit the use of this dollars more. And then, you know, some things may fall out, I understand, but we only have the money that we have.
Right. Well, and part of it too, though, is I have to feel for the entire city, and redevelopment is not about the entire city. That's the unfortunate thing. Community development is. So it's where do we draw the line? And so, you know, that's where I'm at with this. And so, you know, maybe it's time we explore other options than redevelopment. So,
the other thing that we have in the budget, too, is programs that have been basically should have been funded by the CVB somehow or other. You know, like when you're looking at Battleborn Days, one of the things that they have come up with is saying basically we want to put heads in beds, or I know that's an old term, but every time that the gentleman comes in front of you for Silver Dollar Car Classic or whatever, it is about that, you know, is bringing overnight guests, which really maybe that money should be really put, you know, into the CVB budget some way down the line. Instead of the CVB coming to redevelopment for monies. I've never been able to understand that one, frankly. But, and the other thing, too, is now that we are part of redevelopment, too, or, as you know, is also putting monies in around Costco, you know, the fairgrounds, nothing goes on there. That's another thing that maybe really should be looked at something more. So Parks and Rec doesn't have any money. CVB doesn't do anything. I mean, that in some ways is redevelopment by bringing those in, you know, the different horse things or whatever. It's a very underutilized center all through. So,
Jane, you have some comments?
No, I agree with you completely. On all of those comments right now. I'm really interested in the redevelopment part of it and where the funding for that can be raised and utilized the best. And I really understand that redevelopment, the businesses will figure out ways to market. Generating cheeks in the seat or beds, heads in the bed, that all, cheeks in the seat, do you like that one? That will all take place when there's some competition. The competition is healthy, and it brings in the excitement in the market where people want to go downtown. That really contributes to the quality of life here in Carson. I have a lot of people that are coming in from out of town and asking me where to go in Carson, and I do refer them to that area to go to. I mean, it's a very popular area. They can walk and go around different places. They can go to Fiji Park. There are events, but it's not jointed enough together, and we really can make that a lot stronger, I think. And you guys have some great ideas to do that. But I'd like to work more on the redevelopment of it.
And just on that line of conversation, two Saturdays ago, we had a very, very successful Home and Garden Show, which you were part of, that we charged the vendors a very small amount of money to be in. We brought in over 2,000 people, didn't ask for any redevelopment.
In terms of this sense that it's a city committee, but it's a group of citizens that we put together that have a vested interest in the community. So, and well, in fact, Ronnie sat on the committee this year. So, that's what you're referring to, and that could be expanded to other processes.
Comments, questions, suggestions from any of the committee, Lori?
Well, what I really want to work on with this committee is that we design maybe our percentages in a different way. That do we want 70% of the money to to fix. I want to lure, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I want to lure business to these redevelopment areas. And I think by luring business, business will generate that community development. All the businesses in town help and contribute to these events and give things to them. And so I think we will still accomplish these specialty events by actually having redevelopment get us some vendors in here, get us some new business, fill that vacancy and generate the tax dollars and the sales tax and the property tax and all those other things. And so I just want us to talk about which priorities will in the long run benefit the use of this dollars more. And then, you know, some things may fall out, I understand, but we only have the money that we have.
Right. Well, and part of it too, though, is I have to feel for the entire city, and redevelopment is not about the entire city. That's the unfortunate thing. Community development is. So it's where do we draw the line? And so, that's where I'm at with this. And so, you know, maybe it's time we explore other options than redevelopment. So,
the other thing that we have in the budget, too, is programs that have been basically should have been funded by the CVB somehow or other. You know, like when you're looking at Battleborn Days, one of the things that they have come up with is saying basically we want to put heads in beds, or I know that's an old term, but every time that the gentleman comes in front of you for Silver Dollar Car Classic or whatever, it is about that, you know, is bringing overnight guests, which really maybe that money should be really put, you know, into the CVB budget some way down the line, instead of the CVB coming to redevelopment for monies. I've never been able to understand that one, frankly. But, and the other thing, too, is now that we are part of redevelopment, too, or as, you know, is also putting monies in around Costco, you know, the fairgrounds, nothing goes on there. That's another thing that maybe really should be looked at something more. So Parks and Rec doesn't have any money. CVB doesn't do anything. I mean, that in some ways is redevelopment by bringing those in, you know, the different horse things or whatever. It's a very underutilized center all through. So,
Jane, you have some comments?
No, I agree with you completely on all of those comments right now. I'm really interested in the redevelopment part of it and where the funding for that can be raised and utilized the best. And I really understand that redevelopment, the businesses will figure out ways to market. Generating cheeks in the seat or beds, heads in the bed, that all, cheeks in the seat, do you like that one? That will all take place when there's some competition. The competition is healthy, and it brings in the excitement in the market where people want to go downtown. That really contributes to the quality of life here in Carson. I have a lot of people that are coming in from out of town and asking me where to go in Carson, and I do refer them to that area to go to. I mean, it's a very popular area. They can walk and go around different places. They can go to Fiji Park. There are events, but it's not jointed enough together, and we really can make that a lot stronger, I think. And you guys have some great ideas to do that. But I'd like to work more on the redevelopment of it.
And just on that line of conversation, two Saturdays ago, we had a very, very successful Home and Garden Show, which you were part of, that we charged the vendors a very small amount of money to be in. We brought in over 2,000 people, didn't ask for any redevelopment monies. It wasn't a redevelopment area. And I will tell you, those people stayed in Carson City and spent lots of money, you know, after they left the show and in, you know, the different businesses everywhere. So it can be done, you know, if it's done properly.
I have to say about that event, though, just to brag on you, Ronnie, that was an amazing event. And I have nothing but people and business owners that know me that are coming over going, how can we be part of that next year? And that was just the first event. It was great and generated a lot of excitement. And local people here have been coming to me and saying, we don't do things like that in Carson.
Now we do. That's really good.
So, go ahead.
I just want to make one other comment, I guess. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I went on one of the wine walks, and they don't, you know, the Downtown Business Association pulls that off, really, with no support, really. And I was amazed at the number of people there were, you know, wandering around. We talked to a bunch of people, but there was people from Reno, Dayton, you know, who came down here for that. And it's really, I think, run on a shoestring for the most part. But there were probably, I don't know, 150 to 200 people that were wandering around that day. And it happened to be the Saturday before Easter. But, I mean, that, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But I was amazed at how many people were participating, especially the number from not Carson City. And there were visitors, obviously, who were in town visiting Lori or whoever else, who thought it would be a good thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. But there's no money into that, and yet I got experience. I got into, went into businesses that I would have never gone into, and I've been back into them because now I know what they had there. And that, if it weren't for that, I would have never done it.
Well, I tell you, there was one this past weekend. From what I understand, about 50% of them were from Reno, because Reno's wine walk is $25, ours is $10, so they come here. And that's great, because they will see the shops and the whole bit, and that is definitely a wonderful event downtown once a month, that rain, shine, snow, sleet, whatever, you know, they're all there. So
just to let everybody know, it's not on the agenda, so Randy, tell me if I'm out of line. In April, they had 340 wine walkers, all-time record. The biggest record was 250 people 2 years ago. And for clarification, the Downtown Business Association will not be coming to redevelopment for money. That's not their intent. They want to give money back to the city, and they're doing the Legends of the West event in June 30th, I believe, and all that money's coming from the DVA. I think they're spending over $10,000 for that event. So it's the intention of the DVA to give back to the community and not asked for from the community. So I guess with that said, if there's not any questions or comments, do we need to come up with a possible action or a motion to how we want to direct the Board of Supervisors on this?
To put something on the table?
Do we need to do the motion and then have a second and then get public comment or feedback, or do you just want to do public comment before?
That's up to the chair how you want to do that. Normally, you don't want to have public comment while you have a motion ready to be voted on. But
okay. So we'll, with that said, we'll open it up for public comment. Mr. White, would you please come up and act like you're signing in and state your name for the record?
Good evening, committee, chairman. On the special events budget overview, for the farmer market, you show $14,500 to support that farmer's market. I'm wondering if that amount includes the cost to the city to maintain the business license that the farmer's market operates under.
Does it include, does she pay for the business license with that money or other money? You know, I'm not sure. The amount that's allocated for that is not the total cost.
Well,
to
I'm just asking because as I reviewed the business license holders in Carson City, I noticed that Carson City holds two business licenses listed under the farmer's market category. I'm wondering how that's taken care of, who's actually using that business license, and how is it paid for?
Are you saying that there's two separate licenses? I'm sorry.
Yes, in my review of the business license listing, there are two separate business licenses listing Carson City as the holder of that license.
So,
monies, it wasn't a redevelopment area. And I will tell you, those people stayed in Carson City and spent lots of money, you know, after they left the show. And in, you know, the different businesses everywhere. So it can be done, you know, if it's done properly.
I have to say about that event, though, just to brag on you, Ronnie, that was an amazing event. And I have nothing but people and business owners that know me that are coming over going, how can we be part of that next year? And that was just the first event. It was great and generated a lot of excitement. And local people here have been coming to me and saying, we don't do things like that in Carson.
Now we do. That's really good.
So, go ahead.
I just want to make one other comment, I guess. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I went on one of the wine walks, and they don't, you know, the Downtown Business Association pulls that off, really, with no support, really. And I was amazed at the number of people there were, you know, wandering around. We talked to a bunch of people, but there was people from Reno, Dayton, you know, who came down here for that. And it's really, I think, run on a shoestring for the most part. But there were probably, I don't know, 150 to 200 people that were wandering around that day. And it happened to be the Saturday before Easter. But, I mean, that, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But I was amazed at how many people were participating, especially the number from not Carson City. And there were visitors, obviously, who were in town visiting Lori or whoever else, who thought it would be a good thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. But there's no money into that, and yet I got experience. I got into, went into businesses that I would have never gone into, and I've been back into them because now I know what they had there. And that, if it weren't for that, I would have never done it.
Well, I tell you, there was one this past weekend. From what I understand, about 50% of them were from Reno, because Reno's wine walk is $25, ours is $10, so they come here. And that's great, because they will see the shops and the whole bit, and that is definitely a wonderful event downtown once a month, that rain, shine, snow, sleet, whatever, you know, they're all there. So
just to let everybody know, it's not on the agenda, so Randy, tell me if I'm out of line. In April, they had 340 wine walkers, all-time record. The biggest record was 250 people 2 years ago. And for clarification, the Downtown Business Association will not be coming to redevelopment for money. That's not their intent. They want to give money back to the city, and they're doing the Legends of the West event in June 30th, I believe, and all that money's coming from the DBA. I think they're spending over $10,000 for that event. So it's the intention of the DBA to give back to the community and not asked for from the community. So I guess with that said, if there's not any questions or comments, do we need to come up with a possible action or a motion to how we want to direct the Board of Supervisors on this?
To put something on the table?
Do we need to do the motion and then have a second and then get public comment or feedback, or do you just want to do public comment before?
That's up to the chair how you want to do that. Normally, you don't want to have public comment while you have a motion ready to be voted on. But
okay. So we'll, with that said, we'll open it up for public comment. Mr. White, would you please come up and act like you're signing in and state your name for the record?
Good evening, committee, chairman. On the special events budget overview, for the farmer market, you show $14,500 to support that farmer's market. I'm wondering if that amount includes the cost to the city to maintain the business license that the farmer's market operates under.
Does it include, does she pay for the business license with that money or other money? You know, I'm not sure. The amount that's allocated for that is not the total cost.
Well, I'm just asking because as I reviewed the business license holders in Carson City, I noticed that Carson City holds two business licenses listed under the farmer's market category. I'm wondering how that's taken care of, who's actually using that business license, and how is it paid for?
Are you saying that there's two separate licenses? I'm sorry.
Yes, in my review of the business license listing, there are two separate business licenses listing Carson City as the holder of that license.
So, I would have to look into that specifically, and I can do that and get back to Mr. White. The farmers market started as a city event that the city started by putting it on and was under contract. So that might be while it's still in the system. That's just speculation, though. You know, just sitting here, I'm not sure. So I'll have to look into that.
And based on that, Lee, would there be some kind of idea what a business license like that would cost? I mean, my annual city business license is about $118 a year, I think.
Yeah, and without a building, so it wouldn't be more than that.
Okay, thank you. Please state your name for the record, Mr. Bonkowski.
For the record, Brad Bonkowski. And I have a question, just a clarification for myself on previous year's special events. On the summer concerts, the amount that was granted for the summer concerts, was that a grant or was that like a gate guarantee or was that through the BAC or was that the downtown concerts?
Which year are you looking at?
Well, it's under 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. It's under everything but the 2012, 2013.
Yeah, we kind of grouped them together. And because if you get to like 2011, 12, it's Firkin, the summer concerts, that was them doing it. In 2008, certainly, and so somewhere between 2008 and 10, there was a Firkin was 2010-11. So it looks like it was the summer concerts in the first two fiscal years that are under 8-9 and 9-10. That was under contract through the BAC to put those on.
Okay.
And then after that, it was not under contract with the BAC to put those on. It was the individual. It was the Firkin requesting the funding to put them on.
Okay.
Excuse me. Lee, were some of those, or which group did the summer concerts that were on the legislative lawn every Sunday?
That would have been the Mile High Jazz Band, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah. Pops in the Park? Something like that.
Yeah, and for convenience in this, there may have been a little bit of grouping, but the large part of the expense was for the Third Street concerts, and anything that says the summer concert series, that was a large part. There might have been a couple miscellaneous summer concerts that I just grouped in there.
But mostly the summer concert series for the BAC.
Yeah.
Okay.
On those years.
Thank you.
Any more public comments? Any clarification from staff? From anybody? Okay, back to Mr. Neverett with a proposed motion. Take a stab at it.
I'll take a stab. I'd move that we recommend to the Board of Supervisors that no change be implemented in the current process for allocating the redevelopment funds.
Okay, do we have a second to that
motion? I'll second that.
Okay, any questions on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
All, let's see, 4 in favor and 1 opposed, 5 in favor of the proposed motion, 1 against. Now on to agenda item number 6, non-agenda items, staff reports and update on matters relating to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. Lee.
Thank you, and if I may, let me... With the staff report, and then I'll jump the RAC member reports to a future agenda item to discuss a little bit to report on. For staff reports, the one thing I mentioned earlier, special events, the recommendations you made for funding went to the Board of Supervisors in April, and they pretty much followed your recommendation, except that Rendezvous, they gave us direction to fund Rendezvous in this current fiscal year, and with finance doing the budget augmentation, that's actually now reflected in the budget that he showed you today to pay to give that portion that you allocated to Rendezvous for this year. Kind of leaves them hanging out for next year still, but as I noted earlier, the supervisors also directed us to come back after the budget's done to see what there is in terms of special event. You know, I would have to look into that specifically, and I can do that and get back to Mr. White. The farmers market started as a city event that the city started by putting it on and was under contract. So that might be while it's still in the system. That's just speculation, though. You know, just sitting here, I'm not sure. So I'll have to look into that.
And based on that, Lee, would there be some kind of idea what a business license like that would cost? I mean, my annual city business license is about $118 a year, I think.
Yeah, and without a building, so it wouldn't be more than that.
Okay, thank you. Please state your name for the record, Mr. Bonkowski.
For the record, Brad Bonkowski. And I have a question, just a clarification for myself on previous year's special events. On the summer concerts, the amount that was granted for the summer concerts, was that a grant or was that like a gate guarantee or was that through the BAC or was that the downtown concerts?
Which year are you looking at?
Well, it's under 2008, 2009, 29, 2010, 2010, 2011. It's under everything but the 2012, 2013.
Yeah, we kind of grouped them together. And because if you get to like 2011, 12, it's Firkin, the summer concerts, that was them doing it. In 2008, certainly, and so somewhere between 2008 and 10, there was a Firkin was 2010-11. So it looks like it was the summer concerts in the first two fiscal years that are honored, 8-9 and 9-10, that was under contract through the BAC to put those on.
Okay.
And then after that, it was not under contract with the BAC to put those on. It was the Firkin requesting the funding to put them on.
Okay.
Excuse me. Lee, were some of those, or which group did the summer concerts that were on the legislative lawn every Sunday?
That would have been the Mile High Jazz Band, I believe, wasn't it? Or yeah. Pops in the Park? Something like that.
Yeah, and for convenience in this, there may have been a little bit of grouping, but the large part of the expense was for the Third Street concerts, and anything that says the summer concert series, that was a large part. There might have been a couple miscellaneous summer concerts that I just grouped in there.
But mostly the summer concert series for the BAC.
Yeah.
Okay.
On those years.
Thank you.
Any more public comments? Any clarification from staff? From anybody? Okay, back to Mr. Nebert with a proposed motion. Take a stab at it.
I'll take a stab. I'd move that we recommend to the Board of Supervisors that no change be implemented in the current process for allocating the redevelopment funds.
Okay, do we have a second to that
motion? I'll second that.
Okay, any questions on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
All, let's see, one, four in favor and one opposed, five in favor of the proposed motion, one against. Okay. Now on to agenda item number six, non-agenda items, staff reports and update on matters relating to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. Lee.
Thank you, and if I may, let me... With the staff report, and then I'll jump the RAC member reports to a future agenda item to discuss a little bit to work on. For staff reports, yeah, the one thing I mentioned earlier, special events, the recommendations you made for funding went to the Board of Supervisors in April, and they pretty much followed your recommendation, except that Rendezvous, they gave us direction to fund Rendezvous in this current fiscal year, and with finance doing the budget augmentation that's actually now reflected in the budget that he showed you today to pay to give that portion that you allocated to Rendezvous for this year. Kind of leaves them hanging out for next year still, but as I noted earlier, the supervisors also directed us to come back after the budget's done to see what there is in terms of special event funding. Appropriate to your discussion earlier regarding how much funding should be used for what, which leads me into reporting on kind of future agenda items. So one of the, from the discussion earlier, I know what you were talking about was appropriate use of funds, and certainly special events is in the redevelopment area number one plan as a legitimate use of funds. I mean, that's obviously Phil discussion as to whether that's the how high a priority that should be. But along those lines, talking about redevelopment area plans, One of the goals of the Board of Supervisors is to look at the redevelopment area plan for area number 2, the South Carson Street. And now that we finally have our two representatives from businesses in the redevelopment area 2 district, I think it's time next month to start that discussion to bring back to take a look at the existing objectives of redevelopment area 2, which, not to get into it, but primarily relate to keeping the auto dealers there, and see if there's any new objectives and what they should be. So we'll have a review of the redevelopment area 2 policy plan and start that discussion next month, I think. And that concludes. That's all I have to report, unless you have any other questions.
Any other RAC committee member reports or comments?
Yeah, I do. We're, I guess this was from last time, and forgive me for being new, but this is your memo of April 5th, Redevelopment Authority, and it talks about your tentative budget and the plans for 2011-2012, the achievements, and the 2012-2013 initiatives and where you want to go. Was that ever discussed, or did you do that before? This was your memo of April 5th to the Redevelopment Authority of the Citizens Committee.
Regarding which item? Wasn't that regarding this last one that we, or the role of the Cultural Commission? Wasn't it regarding that?
No, it was your initiatives for 2012-2013. What you're going to be doing, that was already adopted?
The budget document is what she's talking about.
Oh.
Where you're going to go in the future on it?
Yeah. Where you're going to go in the future, like 2012-2013 initiative, implement more business training, amend redevelopment area 2.
Oh, yes, page 3.2.
That's okay. On this agenda. That's in here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if we have time, because I have a couple of questions on that.
On, okay.
Page 3.2.
Yeah.
Do you want me to continue? Okay. Of course, the past is the past, so nothing on that. But what I was curious on is how you were going to help implement the governor's economic plan. I had a lot of hows. Number 6, work with the owners of the former Kmart building to rehabilitate and reuse the vacant building. My question was how. I understand number 7 because that's ongoing, but I was just curious on how, you know, you were going to implement some of these.
Well, that might be worth another, if you are interested in what's happening at the BRIC, is probably to bring Michael Saloga here to kind of cover both of these, one and 3, in terms of economic implementing the governor's economic plan, which is talks about the economic sectors and working with right now in agriculture, the agricultural study with NNDA that's going on and tying in with NNDA. So and especially as it relates to number 1, the training and mentoring and support that's going on at the BRIC is through the library resources and our BRIC manager. So I can ask him to come give a report on those issues to you at the next meeting or next.
Actually, Lee, I think I understand sort of those with the governor's economic plan coming under that. But what I don't understand is number, 5, work with the owners of the Carson Mall in a phased rehabilitation of the old center. What does that mean? And the same way with the Kmart, because those are 2 very strong possibilities for economic development. And it's just, that these are initiatives, and I don't see anything as
ending appropriate to your discussion earlier regarding how much funding should be used for what, which leads me into reporting on kind of future agenda items. So one of the, from the discussion earlier, I know what you were talking about was appropriate use of funds, and certainly special events is in redevelopment area number 1 plan as a legitimate use of funds. I mean, that's obviously discussion as to whether that's the how high a priority that should be. But along those lines, talking about redevelopment area plans, one of the goals of the Board of Supervisors is to look at the redevelopment area plan for area number 2, the South Carson Street. And now that we finally have our two representatives from businesses in the redevelopment area 2 district, I think it's time next month to start that discussion to bring back to take a look at the existing objectives of redevelopment area 2, which, not to get into it, but primarily relate to keeping the auto dealers there, and see if there's any new objectives and what they should be. So we'll have a review of the redevelopment area 2 policy plan and start that discussion next month, I think. And that concludes. That's all I have to report, unless you have any other questions.
Any other RAC committee member reports or comments?
Yeah, I do. We're, I guess this was from last time, and forgive me for being new, but this is your memo of April 5th, Redevelopment Authority, and it talks about your tentative budget and the plans for 2011-2012, the achievements, and the 2012-2013 initiatives and where you want to go. Was that ever discussed, or did you do that before? This was your memo of April 5th to the Redevelopment Authority of the Citizens Committee.
Regarding which item? Wasn't that regarding this last one that we, or the role of the Cultural Commission? Wasn't it regarding that?
No, it was your initiatives for 2012-2013. What you're going to be doing, that was already adopted?
The budget document is what she's talking about.
Oh.
Where you're going to go in the future on it?
Yeah. Where you're going to go in the future, like 2012-2013 initiative, implement more business training, amend redevelopment area 2.
Oh. Yes, page 3.2.
That's okay. On this agenda. That's in here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if we have time, because I have a couple of questions on that.
On, okay.
Page 3.2.
Yeah.
Do you want me to continue? Okay. Of course, the past is the past, so nothing on that. But what I was curious on is how you were going to help implement the governor's economic plan. I had a lot of hows. Number 6, work with the owners of the former Kmart building to rehabilitate and reuse the vacant building. My question was how. I understand number 7 because that's ongoing, but I was just curious on how, you know, you were going to implement some of these.
Well, that might be worth another, if you are interested in what's happening at the BRIC, is probably to bring Michael Saloga here to kind of cover both of these, one and 3, in terms of economic implementing the governor's economic plan, which is talks about the economic sectors and working with right now in the agricultural study with NNDA that's going on and tying in with NNDA. So and especially as it relates to number 1, the training and mentoring and support that's going on at the BRIC is through the library resources and our BRIC manager. So I can ask him to come give a report on those issues to you at the next meeting or next.
Actually, Lee, I think I understand sort of those with the governor's economic plan coming under that. But what I don't understand is number, 5, work with the owners of the Carson Mall in a phased rehabilitation of the old center. What does that mean? And the same way with the Kmart, because those are 2 very strong possibilities for economic development. And it's just, that these are initiatives, and I don't see anything as how you're going to get there or what funding or what you're going to be doing.
You're right. And they're not that specific. There's not a plan, but we continue discussions with the Kmart owners as they come in the city. I mean, I think because I just think it's on here because it just is on the radar screen as a high priority. There's no plan in place now, and the same thing with the Carson Mall, trying to get tenants and been working in talking with Joanne and, you know, the Carrington Group on that property as well. I think they're there to help them as we can if it comes up, and there's the ability to, but there's not a specific plan in place to do anything specific right now.
Right, where with number seven, you're saying as directed by the Board of Supervisors, and you don't have anything there. But I think these, the number five and the number six, are certainly very important for the Redevelopment Committee, and is really falls in line with what we're supposed to be doing. And all it is a proposed, I presume it's proposed initiative. And it would be interesting, I think, in the future or even now, whether, you know, to discuss this, because I'm very involved with the former Kmart building, you know, trying to become an event center, actually working with that very closely. And I've heard nothing actually from the city other than right now basically saying, okay, we have an interest in it, where before it wasn't even an interest at all. So it would be interesting for me to know, since I'm working with them, what is it that you will, you know, that you are proposing to do other than talk?
What am I proposing to do other than talk, or was that them? Or,
no,
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's
we're here to talk.
Asking.
We're here to talk. We are here available to work with them, as because it's not. Things only end up before Redevelopment Authority when somebody comes and to work with the city. They don't. It's not a mandatory thing. We can't make them do anything and participate together. So I guess if they have a plan to come make a request from the city, that's how it would get into the process.
Well, actually, the Kmart boys, if you will, or whatever you want to call them, have already been before you, and they have to carry through now because the Board of Supervisors did say if you buy, what, May, June, whatever it is, you know, we'll give you a 50% tax rebate or whatever the story. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, but I just know from talking with them, they have not felt that the communication has been really great. And I do know that the Carrington Company has come in the past asking for some specifics, and it hasn't been carried out. And I do know that part of, you know, the money's issues is because of prevailing wages, and it's cheaper for them to go on their own, I guess, than paying prevailing wages. But I have just been told, and again, I'm just on the other side of it, from the business side, that they have not felt that the city has been overly enthusiastic about what they have had to say. So I'm just the bearer, the tidings, or whatever, you know, giving this information. That's why I just thought it was interesting looking at this to see that this is on your radar.
I just have maybe a future agenda item, probably not on the June 4th meeting, but I think it might be helpful for people out there watching this and all that wonderful stuff that we maybe do a PowerPoint on what the accomplishments have been done by the Redevelopment Authority, Area 1 and Area 2, and we did something like that in 2003. So that people do see the relevance and where some of their money's gone. I did a PowerPoint for then and now in front of the Downtown Business Association, and when I highlighted what the redevelopment projects were, a lot of them were like, wow, it really makes a lot of sense. So maybe that's something we could throw on for the future and help clarify things. Yeah, that'd be great.
More just a general comment along with where Ronnie was going. I think that the initiatives that are listed fit within the use of redevelopment dollars, so maybe that will help clarify what I was trying to say about the difference between cultural activities and what
you're going to get there or what funding or what you're going to be doing.
You're right, and they're not that specific. There's not a plan, but we continue discussions with the Kmart owners as they come in the city. I mean, I think it – because, as you know, because I just think it's on here because it just is on the radar screen as a high priority. There's no plan in place now. And the same thing with the Carson Mall trying to get tenants and been working in talking with Joanne and, you know, the Carrington Group on that property as well. I think they're there to help them as we can if it comes up and there's the ability to, but there's not a specific plan in place to do anything specific right now.
Right, where with number seven, you're saying as directed by the Board of Supervisors, and you don't have anything there. But I think these, the number five and the number six, are certainly very important for the Redevelopment Committee and is really falls in line with what we're supposed to be doing. And all it is a proposed, I presume it's proposed initiative. And it would be interesting, I think, in the future or even now, whether, you know, to discuss this, because I'm very involved with the former Kmart building, you know, trying to become an event center, actually working with that very closely. And I've heard nothing actually from the city other than right now basically saying, okay, we have an interest in it, where before it wasn't even an interest at all. So it would be interesting for me to know, since I'm working with them, what is it that you will, you know, that you are proposing to do other than talk?
What am I proposing to do other than talk, or was that them? Or,
no,
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's
we're here to talk.
Asking.
We're here to talk. We are here available to work with them as because it's not things only end up before Redevelopment Authority when somebody comes and to work with the city. They don't. It's not a mandatory thing. We can't make them do anything and participate together. So I guess if they have a plan to come make a request from the city, that's how it would get into the process.
Well, actually, the Kmart boys, if you will, or whatever you want to call them, have already been before you, and they have to carry through now because the Board of Supervisors did say if you buy, what, May, June, whatever it is, you know, we'll give you a 50% tax rebate or whatever the story. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, but I just know from talking with them, they have not felt that the communication has been really great. And I do know that the Carrington Company has come in the past asking for some specifics, and it hasn't been carried out. And I do know that part of, you know, the money's issues is because of prevailing wages, and it's cheaper for them to go on their own, I guess, than paying prevailing wages. But I have just been told, and again, I'm just on the other side of it, from the business side, that they have not felt that the city has been overly enthusiastic about what they have had to say. So I'm just the bearer, the tidings, or whatever, you know, giving this information. That's why I just thought it was interesting looking at this to see that this is on your radar.
I just have maybe a future agenda item, probably not on the June 4th meeting, but I think it might be helpful for people out there watching this and all that wonderful stuff that we maybe do a PowerPoint on what the accomplishments have been done by the Redevelopment Authority, Area 1 and Area 2, and we did something like that in 2003. So that people do see the relevance and where some of their money's gone. I did a PowerPoint for Then and Now in front of the Downtown Business Association, and when I highlighted what the redevelopment projects were, a lot of them were like, wow, it really makes a lot of sense. So maybe that's something we could throw on for the future and help clarify things. Yeah, that'd be great.
More just a general comment along with where Ronnie was going. I think that the initiatives that are listed fit within the use of redevelopment dollars, so maybe that will help clarify what I was trying to say about the difference between cultural activities and what redevelopment could do. And if we had the money going towards rehabbing Kmart and even the Knowledge Center and the Carrington's Mall, the Carson Mall, that's true redevelopment. That's fixing blight, fixing areas of non-use, and going, I truly believe, would then increase the overall tax stability for the city, and that maybe then you wouldn't have to do property tax increases. And so I really believe that's the use of redevelopment dollars, and so I think these initiatives fit the actual redevelopment. And so hopefully that will help clarify where my comments were coming earlier.
The last comment on that, the only thing is that there's no dollars available. So, you know,
the final comment is, when sales tax dollars are down, property taxes have to go up. I mean, it's a seesaw issue. That's how that works. So the property taxes get sunsetted every year, and somehow you have to try and run the city.
Last comment.
Okay.
Actually, a question. Do we get any funding as a distressed community or any designation with all of the issues that have happened economically to the business area? There's a lot of funding federally available for that, and are we capturing any of that for the Redevelopment Authority?
I'm not aware of any. No, we're not, and I'm not aware of any category. I'm not aware of any programs or categories that we would fall into for to the extent of being, what was the term?
Distressed.
If you have any information on some things, forward that to me. Okay, thank you.
All right, I guess that's all the comments. Any public comments? It's on the agenda one more time. Sure you guys don't have anything more to say? Thank you for being here. Now, action for adjournment. Do I have a motion?
So